You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. It's May the 4th, and we can't let it pass without, of course, talking about Star Wars. When Star Wars hit the big screen for the first time in 1977, it became an instant classic. But there wouldn't be any toys of Darth Vader, Luke, Han, Leia, or Chewbacca for kids to play with until almost a year later. Kenner Toys produced hundreds of action figures, vehicles, and playsets featured in Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi from 1978 to 1985. Today, these toys are about as iconic as the movies themselves, and are some collectors' most prized possessions. But for those of us who don't have a collection, or perhaps aren't even old enough to even have had them, we can go see them for ourselves. The largest display of original Kenner toys in Wisconsin is called The Nostalgia Awakens, and the exhibit is on display now at the Oshkosh Public Museum. Jared Roll is the owner and creator of the exhibit, and he joins me now. Jared, welcome to Lake Effect.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
So what was your first purchase or your first toy that you got as a gift that's a part of this collection?
Well, you know, as a kid leaving the movie theater, having seen Star Wars for the first time in summer of 1977, you know, I was, 4.5 years old. And of course, I want to carry on the story. I want to carry on this adventure. And we went to the store looking for any toys, but at that point, there were no toys to be had. It was going to be almost a full year before there would be Star Wars toys on the market. And so I had to wait like everybody else, every other kid, until about spring of 1978. And it was at that point where we were visiting my mother's friend who had a son about my age. And I'm over at his house and he shows me this little figure of Darth Vader. And that's when I knew that there were actually action figures available for Star Wars, because even though 9 months, 10 months had passed since I saw it, I didn't forget Star Wars. It was still very much part of my imagination as a kid in my world. And so I asked my mom, I said, Mom, there are toys now. We have to go find them. And I think we went to a Kmart within a week. And there on an end cap, there were, you know, the first, at the time, 9 action figures. And I looked through them and, you know, the hard part was having to choose just one. And so I ended up coming home with Chewbacca. And so he was my first Star Wars action figure, and he is part of the exhibit. And interestingly enough, so what my exhibit is, it's a collection of every Star Wars action figure toy made for the first 3 movies. That's A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. So it's every vehicle, every creature, every playset, every figure, as long as it was based on something from the movie, it's part of this exhibit. And all of the toys are out of the package, partly because that's how I opened the toys when I was a kid, and partly because that's how most people visually engage with these toys, and partly because it's very expensive to try to do that with everything in the package. But there is one item, one piece in the package, and that is Chewbacca, the original 1978 Chewbacca. He's still on the card, and I thought I would keep him as part of the exhibit, just kind of like an homage to that first figure, even though that one that's on display is not mine, because mine was opened, you know, when I was sitting in the backseat of the car driving home from Kmart, I opened them up.
For sure. So you mentioned in college, you started seeing some toys being out on the shelves again. Is that when you started this collection in earnest in college? And where was the most common places you would find these vintage toys?
You know, when I was a kid, I loved these toys, and for many reasons. I took good care of them. I have a brother who's a few years younger than I am, and he also did the same. And we never really got rid of them. And thankfully, my mom was the kind of parent who didn't give away our things to our beloved possessions to cousins or sell them at a rummage sale once we left the house. You know, all that stuff stayed in our home in a big box in the garage. And I was actually at a record convention in Milwaukee. It was in 1992. So I was 1 year in college at the time. And at this record convention, there was a booth set up where this publisher who were advertising these newspapers that you could get a subscription to, where you could buy, sell, and trade music. Again, this is pre-internet days, so that was our internet. But right next to this publication was another one that was dedicated to buy, selling, and trading antique toys. And so, you know, I started flipping through it, and I saw in there a Millennium Falcon for sale for $80. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, you know, my stuff from a kid is worth more than what we paid for it? This is exciting. And then what else was even more exciting is as I'm looking through this trade magazine, I'm seeing Star Wars toys advertised for sale that I never knew were made. And so I'm sitting there at this record convention, spending hours poring over this publication. The poor woman behind the booth, you know, she's bored and just, she's like, you know what, you can just take that home with you. And I did. And I just pored over the pages and the thought came to me and it was, I need to find out what I still have and I need to get the rest. So that's what really planted that seed. So again, before the days of the internet, before the days of eBay, how did you find this stuff? Well, people laugh at it now, but how we would do it is you would handwrite or type up on a typewriter a notice, a flyer, that you would then go around town and hang them in laundromats and grocery stores saying, wanted to buy old Star Wars toys. And so I would go over to these people's houses and then, you know, I would go to their dining room and it laid out, they would have a bunch of vintage toys, usually a hodgepodge. So I ended up buying most things as a lot. But the good thing about that is that all these extras I was getting, all these doubles, even though it cost me a little more up front, this was a time at which collector's interest in Star Wars was at its only low point. Nostalgia bit me a little early, so I was a little ahead of the curve, so I could buy this stuff super cheap, relatively speaking. And then with all those doubles, once interest started to go up again in the mid to late 90s, I was trading things I needed. And through those processes, again, just being a little bit ahead of the curve, I was able to accomplish a lot of collecting during my college years.
And do you think something about Kenner Toys sets it apart compared to other toy makers? You know, Kenner is no longer around now, but they made toys for some major films and characters, not just Star Wars, but for, you know, us fans, Kenner Toys is the Star Wars toy.
Right. Kenner Toys in itself is an amazing story, just because, I mean, here you have, you know, back in 77, they were a relatively small toy manufacturing company in Cincinnati, Ohio. They were a subsidiary of General Mills food. So if you ever ate like Count Chocula, you know, that's what we're talking about, but they were just an offshoot of that. And they had some successes already by the time Star Wars came along. They're known for the Easy Bake Oven. They had some licensing successes with the Million Dollar Man TV show, and they made 13-inch doll or action figures of the main characters from that show. But Star Wars is really what put them on the map. It's really transformed them to a leading toy manufacturer of the world. There's many theories as to why it worked, how it did, but some ideas why Star Wars toys just became so popular and are so iconic is because they were small enough that Kenner could make vehicles and play environments for you to place those figures so you could truly reenact these scenes that were in your mind from the movie, or you could carry on that story. So they were small enough that it was affordable. Because, you know, think about before Star Wars, the most common size of action figure was 8 or 12 inches. When you've got a 12-inch Han Solo, there's no way they're making a Millennium Falcon for him to go into. And they knew that. They're like, if we're gonna make this work, we gotta make a universe of toys. And so Kenner designed them, but they're not so small that the figures lack personality. I mean, they're large enough that, yeah, this is Luke, and I can move his arms and his legs and extend his lightsaber. And so you could see the character in the toy itself, and you could collect them all.
You mentioned Chewie was your first toy that you got from this collection. Is he your favorite piece still, or has that changed?
Well, in the exhibit, you know, half the toys that you see in the exhibit, I never owned as a kid. And I'd say, of all the things on display, there is a playset. It was called the Death Star playset, and it was made in 1979, I believe. Yeah, 79, because I got it when I was 6. And I remember the time I got it, when I opened it, it just, the box seemed humongous. And when you put it together, it just, as a kid, as a 6-year-old, it seemed so big. And it allowed me to just have hours of fun recreating these scenes and telling new stories. So that one, for me, means a lot. And then there's a couple other pieces that I never owned that are just really cool that I'm thankful that they're part of this exhibit. So like there's a Tatooine skiff. That is a vehicle that's seen in Return of the Jedi when they're going out to the desert to sacrifice our heroes to the Sarlacc pit. But they made a vehicle for that, but they made it at the very end of it all. So in 1985, 2 years after Jedi comes out, kids like me, we've moved on. And Star Wars, once again, once Lucas announced there's not going to be any more movies, that took a lot of the wind out of it, or how you want to say it. But Kenner, knowing that this was their big moneymaker, they weren't going to give that up too easily. So what they did in 1985, they're like, okay, we don't have another movie here that we can license toys from. But what we can do is create a new toy line for Star Wars and give it its own name and its own logo. So it seems like a new movie, even though it's not. So they called it The Power of the Force, and it has its own logo. But the figures and the vehicles that were made for it, they are just, you know, characters and intellectual properties from the first three movies. And they're some of their best work. The Tatooine, the skiff itself is part of that line. And it's just so nicely detailed, and it's so fragile. Not many of them survive. So it has a high collectible value to it. But as a kid, I would have loved to have had that. So that's one of my other favorite pieces.
Your job today is being a curator for a museum. So as you were drawn to collecting, did you feel or recognize a collection's inherent value and what it can mean in the future? Like even when you were younger, even before you knew you wanted to work for a museum?
Yes, that's a great question. You know, it's funny. I grew up in a small town north of Milwaukee called Hartford, and going to Milwaukee was a big deal for us. And back in those days, going to museums was a relatively inexpensive thing to do. And my family went to the Milwaukee Public Museum a lot. I grew up going there and I fell in love with it. So I always had a love for museums and that immersive learning experience, the dioramas, and I always loved these reproduced environments. And, you know, looking back at that, I was making the same thing with my Star Wars toys. I would have, you know, the Cantina playset, which you could buy, and then I have my action figures, but then I'd have some wooden blocks that I would make some buildings out of, and I would recreate that scene in Mos Eisley when our heroes, you know, come into town and the stormtroopers stop them and, you know, all that. So, you know, I understood, you know, I couldn't have articulated it at the time, but my mind was making connections between how objects can tell stories and how objects can trigger memories. And so here as a museum curator, we do that. You know, we use these things that were made and used in the past to help tell stories about what they meant to the people, what they communicate about that culture, about that time. And it's material culture studies. And it goes hand in hand now that I look back at it, and I'm grateful for it. I understand how an object can speak to people, as my plastic action figure spoke to me.
What's your favorite part about seeing people interact with your collection?
My favorite part about seeing people interact with the collection is looking at the expression on their face when they move from one display case to another, and all of a sudden their eyes get big and they get real low, get right up next to that acrylic. And they're looking in there and they say, I had that. Let me tell you this. I can tell you about this. I just got back from a doctor's appointment, and it was a horrible doctor's appointment because I was going to get tubes in my ears. And my mom took me to the store to pick out a toy to help smooth things over. And I got that toy. That is what I came home with. And I'll never forget that. And hearing stories like that is so fun for me. Again, how these plastic things can trigger a memory like that. That guy, he hasn't thought of that probably in decades. But that toy did that because they're connected that way. So seeing that, or just, you know, it's like any shared interest group. When I'm at the exhibit, when people are coming to look at it, you know, we get it. We're all in the same, we're all there together, and we can just share and indulge in the, you know, in the nostalgia of it all.
Well, Jared, I want to thank you for all the hard work and groundwork that you laid out so that people like me can come and enjoy this collection.
Oh, you can tell this is it's a lot of fun. And so I appreciate the opportunity to tell some stories and share in the memories of it all.
Of course. And may the force be with you.
Yes. And this is the way.
Jared Roll is the owner and creator of The Nostalgia Awakens, an exhibit of the complete original vintage Kenner Star Wars toys. It's currently on display at the Oshkosh Public Museum until June 20th. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.